Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
Joe Burrow is a baller. Okay, that 1-5-1 record that he's got attached to him right now is a tragedy. Travesty. Whichever word you want to use. That is the biggest mirage of a record that we have in the NFL this year and probably have in some time. This guy has breathed life into that offense. Because what's changed other than the quarterback position on the offense? Really nothing. And you add T. Higgins, a young rookie out of Clemson, who has blue blood status in college. Championship rings in college. To grow with Burrow as they, you know, gain in the NFL. That game between the Browns and the Bengals, Part 2, Battle of Ohio Sunday, was the most entertaining game of the weekend. I thought it was going to be the Steelers and the Titans, and that was good. Don't get me wrong. That was a good game. But this game was exciting. It was back and forth. It was fun. And it had two young guns the quarterback position dueling it out for four quarters. And we all thought it was headed to overtime. We thought Cleveland was just getting in position to kick the tying field goal and go to overtime. But what a comeback for Baker Mayfield. Like, what a great game that was. The AFC North needs to take notice. Okay, you've got the OGs up there with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but these Bengals and Browns are up and coming. Now the Bengals seriously have work to do on the offensive line. That's no secret, but they've got their guy, and he is so good, and he is so cool. And confident and just fun to watch. In fact, right now, as we speak, my phone's going off. There is a three-team battle in the Chumps League. And we're all coming after Joe Burrow. We all put offers on the table for Joe Burrow from the two-time champ Dustin Stout, who's won this thing back-to-back, drafted Burrow at the 102. And we're all putting bids in to get this guy. This is a dynasty league, a two quarterback league, with lots of room to grow with Joe Burrow. Whoever is able to land him is going to be pretty happy. I threw my hat in the ring when Dustin said all of his quarterbacks were up for trade. I went and looked, and I said, okay, I'm going to get in on the ground floor on this. Because next year or the year after that, the price might be too high. That's how sure I am on what Joe Burrow can do if he stays healthy. This guy is good. He's got a factor, an it factor about him that we haven't seen for a while. And I'm going to go out there and say it above Andrew Luck. They said Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford was the most polished passer, quarterback that we've seen in a while. And he was. He did great. He was a great quarterback. Burrow, to me, is better. But what happened to Andrew Luck? Injuries. 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 Shortened his career. And if the Bengals don't do something to address that, they're going to have the same problem on their hands. I will be on Twitter. I will be on any social media site I can grab a hold of if I land Burrow. So you'll see it everywhere if I land him in a trade. But what a game that Browns-Bengals was. Browns taking it 37-34, winning both games this year in the Battle of Ohio, but both of them were so close. And Burrow does not deserve this 1-5-1 record he's saddled with. That record is deceiving. They're better than their record shows. Okay, we got some news and notes. Let's go.
Here's what we know.
We're headed down to Big D as the world turns, as the Cowboys world turns and spins into another orbit. Andy Dalton got rocked on a play. It was a bad hit. The guy got thrown out. John Bostic got thrown out of the game. He's going to get fined, not suspended. The hit was unnecessary. Total bullcrap. He should probably get suspended for a game, but who am I? So what's that mean? Well, that means hello, Ben DiNucci. Welcome in. You're probably going to get to start this week against the Eagles on primetime Sunday Night Football. Oh, boy. Went to James Madison. He was a transfer. Transferred from a Division I college. Can't remember that one right off the top of my head. Went to James Madison. Cowboys drafted him in the 7th round. And I got to tell you, he came in and played after Dalton went out. And he looked like he wasn't afraid to throw the ball, at least. He had a couple of throws where he was okay to throw it. Dalton, to me, did not look good. And, you know, you get on Twitter and you see a lot of people's comments. Well, the offensive line. Yeah, the offensive line is beat up. One starter left from week one. One lone guy. But Zach Martin's supposed to be coming back. That'll help tremendously. Perennial all-star there at the offensive line position. But this team's bad. They did manage to trade Everson Griffin. Sorry, butt away. And they cut Dontari Poe and Daryl Worley because they couldn't find anybody to trade for them. So they cut them. That's good. If you go back to some episodes back in the early part of the preseason, air quotes preseason, I wasn't a big fan of them bringing in Dontari Poe. I really thought Griffin may be better, but those guys are just done. They're just done. They were lucky to get a 6th-round draft pick for Everson Griffin. So they're cutting some of the fat off the steak, but that defense is still horrible. It's still going to be horrible. So here's the Hitman's tip of the week. Start your Eagles this week because there's no doubt they're going to perform well. What a mess in Dallas. My goodness. From a crap team to a top team, we're going up north. We're going to the Steel City. Pittsburgh 6-0. They defeat Tennessee last week in a good game. You know, I said it was going to be probably the game of the week. Had not the Bengals and Browns, you know, stole the show. This was a good game. Pittsburgh got out to a big lead, and then Tennessee came storming back. Pittsburgh was able to hold them off. You know, we'll get to the matchups here in a little bit, but they got Baltimore this week, 5-1. Big-time division game, you know, for those two teams. I want to talk about Pittsburgh for a little bit because they deserve some spotlight here on the Hitman Podcast. 6-0, my pick to go to the Super Bowl. Everything's working for them. They did take a big hit, you know, when they lost Devin Bush last week, but, you know, they still played good, and they've still got pieces around them everywhere. Vince Williams stepped up. Vince Williams had a really good game. He's from Florida State, too, by the way. Just thought I'd put that out there. They're playing well. Ben's not, you know, overplaying himself. He's doing what he needs to be doing, relying on the run game as well. Both those running backs seem to have, you know, complementary roles with each other. I know Benny Snell got in the end zone last week to help complement James Conner, but Conner's doing his part. Those wide receivers are doing good. Man, I'm saying right now, if Pittsburgh played Kansas City right now for the AFC Championship, Pittsburgh wins that game. And it's just a feeling I have more than anything. I just think they're a better team. They're playing better ball right now. The whole Lev Bell to Kansas City thing, we're still going to see how that plays out. But Mahomes had a couple of bad weeks fantasy-wise. Weather was raining 2 weeks ago, was snowing this past week. So, you know, I'm not really saying it's him. But I just think that, and I'm not knocking Kansas City. I think they're playing just fine. But if you play Pittsburgh and KC for the AFC Championship right now, to me, Pittsburgh wins. I think they're playing that good. And I'm that confident with that team, you know, going forward to say they could end up representing the AFC, you know, in the Super Bowl. Got a good show for you tonight. Going to talk another fantasy crosshairs, fantasy league crosshairs. We're doing a dear friend of mine, Sean Laird's league this week. Oldest running fantasy football league that I've ever been in. Am in or whatever. This league's been going on since 1996 or 7, something like that. We're going to break that down for you. We're going to do a week 8 preview, and it's going to be a good show. Before I get into the fantasy league crosshairs, I want to talk a little bit about league integrity. I was involved in a little bit of a ruffle in a league. I'm not going to name the league, not going to name names or anything like that, but in one league I'm in, we had a guy who, he's basically checked out already. 0-7, and his team's not bad. He just hasn't been working it. Had he worked his team, you know, he wouldn't be 0-7. He'd probably be looking at, you know, 4-3, 3-4, something along that line. He would be in it. But he hasn't worked. He doesn't even care. He even posted in the comments, "I do not care." So, with that being said, there was a trade yesterday, last evening, about this time. A quarterback for a quarterback. And I didn't like the trade. Okay, this is not my, I'm not the commissioner of this league, or I'd be all up in it. But I didn't like the trade. I didn't think it was even. But here's the thing. All of my leagues that I run through Hitman Fantasy Productions, I have bylaws. And the bylaws state all trades will be considered fair unless collusion is detected. Basically, what that means is we're all grown-ups. We can all make our own decisions. So if you feel comfortable trading a person for a person, you know, that's going to be on you. It's too early in the NFL or in the fantasy season to really consider collusion. So that's more towards the end when you, like, maybe you're giving up a guy for this to help somebody for their playoff run. So I thought, well, if that's what it is, maybe this guy thinks it's a matchup thing or whatever. I'm okay with it. It was a quarterback for a quarterback, and you know, I'm gonna tell you the quarterbacks. I'm gonna give you that at least. As soon as I remember who it was, just looked it up. It was Tannehill for Sam Darnold. Okay, that right there to me just says this trade wasn't fair. Somebody got took. But if you go back to the creed that I have on my bylaws, all trades will be considered fair unless collusion is detected. I thought, well, okay, you know, maybe this guy, you know, sees something that, you know, we don't, and you know, he wants to take a shot on Sam Darnold. And Darnold played, you know, a little bit better, and he's getting a little bit better as he gets healthier. So I thought, you know what, maybe this is a play for, you know, the future. I let it go. Didn't think too much about it. Later on that evening, I was approached by the commissioner and said, hey, would you be interested in trading Tua Tagovailoa to me? And I said, yeah. I said, I'd be willing to do that. I said, if you could figure out a way to get Dalvin Cook, I'd be interested in making like a three-team trade. Get with a guy that has Dalvin Cook, you know, and get this and give him whatever, and we'll do a little three-team swap, and I'll give you Tua and something else if I can end up landing Dalvin Cook. I said, it was late last night. I said, I'll get with you. I'll text you in the morning. Get up this morning, I see a trade. Now, keep in mind, the guy who was 0-7 has Dalvin Cook on his team. He also has DK Metcalf. That's why I don't understand how he can be 0-7. But the trade was unfair, to say the least. Unfair. So there was a bit of a dust-up. and some of the people in the group chat said, this trade's bullcrap. You know, what's going on? This trade's terrible. Why would you even make that trade? And the guy responds, I don't care. Okay, right there, to me, if it's my league, which it's not, you know, I'm finding a replacement for that guy right now. Okay, this is a first league of this year, you know, and it's very competitive. It's a fun league. It's very high scoring. I love that part of it, but people like this in your league got to go. Okay, if he's going to say, I don't care, and he made a trade that was iffy the night before, and then he makes one that's lopsided, I'm like, okay, well, this can't be right. He's given up, obviously, which is that's one thing. I'm okay with that. But you would think if your guy approaches you for, you know, Dalvin Cook, you load up for next year. All signs lead me to believe he's not coming back next year. And if it was my league, he wouldn't be back for this week. I'd figure out some way to get him out of there. But it all goes to league integrity. Okay, you have to do what's best for your league to keep everything fair. And it's harder than it may seem, especially in a situation like this where, according to my creed and my bylaws, all trades are considered fair. So if this guy wanted to, you know, basically just punt his season and trade Dalvin Cook for a couple of lower, I don't remember the players, right? And I'm not looking it up, but the players were lower quality, even when it was a 2-for-1 swap. But still, those two to me didn't add up. So I go on the group message board, and I was like, okay, here's the deal. I was approached about a trade for Tua. I said, if you can make this happen with the 3-team trade, you know, let's do that. I said, but since I saw a trade, you know, I want some of you guys' league input. Obviously, this guy's punted his team. He's punted the season, you know, which is that's his to do. That's his decision to make. But are we still okay now that, you know, the commissioner and I make the trade? You know, I said I'm still willing to make a fair trade, you know, involving Tua to bring Dalvin Cook to my team. And it wasn't met with much resistance. It was basically all chalked up to a learning experience, and that's what it really is you got to learn from this, but you also need to see that this guy has given up this year, and you know it's almost like maybe he should be replaced. If it was my league, he would be. You have to have integrity for your league, okay? And you have to try, I said this last week, you have to try to get rid of the people that, you know, are bringing the league down. Try to get people that are involved, enthused, you know, enjoy it, you know, just having fun. And, you know, and then it'll be a lot better for everybody. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about league integrity. It went on a little bit longer than I wanted to because I still got the spotlight or the Hitman's crosshairs to get to, and then I got the preview to go through, so... You know, just if you see something you don't think's right, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and hit the commissioner, or if you've got a group of people, you know, like a round table or whatever, like league officials, reach out and ask them what they think. So, you know, and I have the ultimate say, you know, in most of my leagues, but I also have a group of counsel that I bring in and talk to, you know, for support. And it's always nice to have league council members that you can, you know, reach out, lean on, and get some feedback. So it's just a thought. League integrity makes the league better and more fun. Okay, Fantasy League crosshairs tonight. Lairdo's Fantasy Football League. This league is just your basic meat and taters. There's no team names. Okay, there's no trophy at the end. It's just 8 guys that play fantasy football and have for a long time. This is still done by hand. This league is not ran on an app due to the scoring system. I'm going to take you back. This is going to date you. We're going clear back to Terry Bradshaw's fantasy football scoring system back in the 90s. It's a league that we it's a scoring system that we ran when we first started, a bunch of us down in a league, a big league in Dayton, Ohio. It's the same scoring system, same setup. And it is old school, and it is one hard mother cruncher to win. Okay, you've got one quarterback you start. You can start two running backs, two wide receivers, and then you flex a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end. So there's a quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, and then one flex spot. Kicker and a DST. That's all you start. Your roster consists of three quarterbacks, five running backs, five wide receivers slash tight end, two kickers, two defense. That is your roster. You get three moves a year. If you make a trade with the team, that consists as one of your moves. So you have two more moves throughout the course of the year. Injury moves, those are free, but the player has to be out for at least 2 weeks. This league is hard. You literally win your draft, win your league on draft day for the most part. There are the ones that fall through the cracks, the James Robinsons, people like that. You know, they didn't get drafted. Chase Claypool, those guys didn't get drafted. But the draft is very important. Tonight we're going to break this league down. The scoring system is very touchdown-based. Okay, you don't get any bonus points unless you hit 300 yards. You don't get any bonus points unless you get 100 yards. Same with receiving. Okay, touchdowns go, they're increments of 6, 9, and 12, depending on the yardage where they come from. This is a very meat and potatoes, hardcore league that you have to be on your toes with. And in a COVID year, you have to draft even more hyper-aware. And right now, we're all chasing the one guy. One guy has won this thing four out of, like, the last 6 years. And he drafts well, and he's very studious, and he's always in it at the end. And as of right now, we're going into week eight, and there he sits, 6-1 atop the standings. Three teams at 4-3, including myself. Three teams at 3-4, and then one team at 1-6. It's a very tight league still. Okay, a couple of losses, and you go from being in third to being in seventh real quick. Okay, it's pretty tight. It's very competitive, and I've made the playoffs in this league. I'd say three times in the last 5 years, and I made it to the championship 2 years ago and lost to the guy who's in first place this year. Very tough. This league goes back a long way, 1996, 97, like I said. We created it back then, and then I got out of it for a little bit, and my dear friend Sean Laird took the league over, and he's ran it every year since. It's been going for a long time. Probably my favorite league because it's been going for such a long time. It's very hard. It's non-PPR. It's basically touchdown-based. And, you know, in that league, your quarterbacks kind of run the show. Unless you've got a guy who, like Christian McCaffrey, where touchdowns in that league will also be double points if you're a receiver and you catch it. You're a quarterback and you run it in, or you're a running back and you catch the ball, or receiver, run it in, you get it. The points double. So people like Michael Vick was a phenom in this league. Christian McCaffrey's big time because he catches touchdown passes. So it's a very intense league. I wanted to put it on the spotlight. It's a very, very competitive league this year. Even the guy who is in eighth place is only two games out of, say, fourth. So, you know, it's not over. This league is very tight, and proud to be a part of it. So I'll let you know, keep you updated on how this one goes. I had a pretty good run. I had Dak in that league, so I started out hot. Started out 3-1, and then he got hurt, and my team took a dip. I also have Dalvin Cook and Nick Chubb in that league. They've both been hurt, so like I said, I took a dip. Luckily, I made a trade. One of my moves, I made a trade, got Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers and A.J. Brown have kept me, you know, in the hunt, and hopefully I can get, you know, Cook and Chubb back and make a run at the end. So it's a fun league. Lairdo's Fantasy League, that's the league in the Hitman's crosshairs this week. On to week number 8, we start Thursday night, Atlanta, Carolina. I'll talk more about this game tomorrow night on Sportscaster. But if you look across the landscape of week 8, you don't see too many games that just grab you and say, ooh, this is going to be a good one. But there are a few. And once again, it starts with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I talked about them a little bit ago at the top. Pittsburgh 6-0, Baltimore 5-1. This is a hardcore NFC or AFC North battle right here. Okay? Last time they met, Baltimore won the game last year. Now, obviously, they didn't have Big Ben. It's going to be a whole different ball of wax. This game, Pittsburgh comes in with the league's best defense. Baltimore comes in with the league's top 5 defense. Baltimore's 3rd in the NFL in rushing. Pittsburgh 12th in rushing. Passing, they're down towards the bottom a little bit. It's going to be a good game. Wouldn't be surprised if it's like a 13-10 kind of thing. It's going to be a little, I don't think it's going to be up in the 20s. Going to be a good game. Probably one of the premier games of the week if you look at the landscape, you know, across the NFL. Moving right along, we've got some duds here. Okay, I'm going to start with the KC New York Jets game. Yeah. 6-1 versus 0-7. And it's in Kansas City. 1 o'clock kick. Don't really need to say a whole lot. There are some injuries for the Kansas City Chiefs that may play a factor. Be kind of curious to see, you know, what role Le'Veon Bell has, you know, in his second week here, especially against his former team. Maybe a little motivation, a little bit of, oh, yeah, I'm going to sock you one. Other than that, don't have much interest in this game. It should be a Kansas City route, and don't be surprised if you don't see Mahomes playing in the fourth quarter in this one. L.A. and the Dolphins, 5-2 versus 3-3. And, you know, Miami's coming on, and they're off a bye week, and here we got Tua Tagovailoa making his NFL debut. Well, that's not true. Making his first NFL start. He did play in the week before their bye in some mop-up duty. And, you know, he's getting the reins now, and he gets Mr. Aaron Donald in that front, you know, coming right at you. You also got to throw with Jalen Ramsey out there. Tough spot for him, but he has had 2 weeks to prepare for it. So the interesting thing about this game is what can he do? What's he going to do in his very first NFL start? Keeping it going on the theme of games that are just lopsided record-wise, we got the 1-5 Vikings off a bye week going up to Green Bay, who are 5-1, and Aaron Rodgers against Minnesota's secondary. Looks good for Aaron Rodgers if you have him in fantasy. Obviously, I'm going to play him in Lairdo's League, which I talked about just a little bit ago. I acquired him, you know, because of the injury to Dak Prescott. So I like the matchup here, Green Bay versus Minnesota. Dalvin Cook's practicing. He's going to be active. I just got a sleeper alert just a moment ago. He'll be active. This really comes as no surprise. They left him out, you know, of the last game they played, and then he had to bye week. He had 2 weeks to get that abductor strain healthy, so hopefully it is. Get some of my teams healthy again with Dalvin Cook coming back. So, you know, this isn't a game that I really expect Minnesota to win, but it's a winnable game, especially if, you know, they're able to keep the ball control. If they can maintain ball control, run the ball, and keep Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines, then maybe they got their chance at the end, but I'm taking Green Bay in this one all the way. Indy and Detroit, this is a game at least – you know, one game's above, one team's 4-2, the other team's at least 500 at 3-3. Are we seeing the injection of DeAndre Swift a little bit more and a little bit more here, you know, into the offense? And is he slowly, week by week, taking over the reins in this offense? I got my fingers crossed. I have a big share of him in the league, and I hope he does, because I would love to have him as a big contributor, you know, in the second half of the fantasy season. For the Colts, 4-2, and you know, they're hanging on. They're hanging on because of their defense. It still looks like their main guy, Darius Leonard, is going to be out some more. Doesn't look good. He's still got that groin issue, you know. But they're hanging in there, and you know, they're winning 4-2. And this game is in a dome, so both teams will be comfortable because they both play in domes. And this would be an interesting game to watch. It really would. Detroit came back and won a stunner last week there at the last, because the Falcons once again found another way to lose a football game, which has got to be an all-time record on how to blow football games. They've got to have that, you know, in spades there in Atlanta. Las Vegas, Cleveland. Las Vegas 3-3, Cleveland 5-2. Talked about it at the top, that awesome game with the Bengals last week. Man, that was a fun game. And Cleveland's rolling, and they don't have Chubb. They don't have Chubb back. Sadly for them, they did lose OBJ. But I was listening to something today, and it said, hey, you know, maybe this is a blessing in disguise for Baker Mayfield, because he doesn't have to try to force find OBJ, and he can, you know, spread the ball around to other players, and he won't be so, you know, locked in on making him happy. Very interesting thought, interesting tidbit there. Definitely curious to see how it goes going forward without OBJ this season. You know, I like the Browns, man. They're home. Vegas is coming out here. It's probably going to be cooler. You know, I'd like to see what the Browns have for the Raiders. It'd definitely be a fun game to pay attention to. Tennessee 5-1, Bengals 1-5-1 in Cincinnati. Tennessee coming in. Man, you know, like I said, I love the Bengals. Their record isn't what they are as a football program, but I just like Tennessee as a whole. They're just a better football program right now. Derrick Henry, he's a little banged up, but he's probably going to be okay, because he just plays even when he's kind of hurt. Tannehill's playing good. They've got A.J. Brown, who's back from injury, playing well. You know, the prodigal son and Corey Davis has shown up. Jonnu Smith's an awesome tight end. Their defense is good. You know, I think Tennessee will find a way to win this game. You know, but I think the Bengals will make it competitive, because Burrow's that good. He's that guy. He'll keep the Bengals around and keep this game interesting, I think, you know, maybe throughout. But I think at the end, Tennessee finds a way to win the game. 2-4 New England. Boy, that's fun to look and see. That tickles me, seeing New England struggle after these years and years of dominating the NFL, to see them struggle to even get to 500. And now they have to play Buffalo. It's a changing of the guard in the AFC East. You got to love it. You got to love it. And look for Josh Allen to kind of have a bounce back this week. He had a little bit of a down game last week. No touchdowns. Did throw for some yards and ran for a little bit. Saved your fantasy days. No touchdowns last week for him. But, you know, this is in Buffalo, you know, and it's a changing of the guard. And, you know, it's the kind of game New England comes in and wins. But, you know, I'm hoping that Buffalo can do what they're supposed to do and win this game at home and send New England to 2-5. And they probably haven't started 2-5 since they had them old helmets with the guy who was down, you know, in the center snap position. So if they go 2-5, it'd be interesting to see how long it's been since they were 2-5. But go Buffaloes. Go Bills. beat the Patriots. Okay, very good game other than the record here. We're going back out west, AFC West, L.A. Chargers, Denver Broncos, both teams 2-4, and both teams need a win. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. The rookie Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Drew Lock. I said at the beginning of the season, before the season even started, I wasn't sure how I felt about Drew Lock. It's just proving my point. I'm not sure where I'm at with this kid. He may need time. You know, they've got some injuries. It looks like Philip Lindsay's banged up again, so maybe Melvin Gordon gets some carries. Jerry Jeudy is kind of up and down. They got 17 tight ends. Pick one. Use him. Get him, you know, into the offense. The defense is missing Von Miller, you can tell. Bradley Chubb is a great surprise coming back off that nasty injury. He's getting back into playing form. I love him on the defense. Actually, just traded him in a league right before I came on the air here. Hated to see him go, but, you know, I needed a quarterback for this week. So, be an interesting game. I want to see how they do. Hopefully the weather's better this week, you know, in Denver than it was last week, and Herbert can go up there and do some things. Because it was all kinds of snowing and nasty last week, and I think that's the reason why we saw some lower numbers from the Kansas City Chiefs. From the AFC West, we go to the NFC West, and this is a good one. 425, this one's probably going to be... This one will probably be Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Seattle, San Francisco, 4-3 versus 5-1. You know, Seattle coming off of a fantastic game against the Cardinals the other night. What a game that was. Just, you know, I know they're on a bye week this week, so I'm not going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals too much, but my goodness, Kyler Murray is definitely worth that overall first-round pick last year. Okay, and he's getting better and better and better. And as he gets more comfortable with what he's doing, the sky's the limit for this kid and that offense out there in Arizona. And my goodness, I know they're on a bye week this week, but, you know, he had a great game, you know, in prime time, you know, against Seattle. And in a game where I picked Seattle to win in our Pick'em League, I took them to win, and Arizona went in there and said, here you go, take this. So, man, I love Kyler Murray. Kid is fun. I tried to acquire him in Laredo's Fantasy League, the one I touched on earlier. The guy wouldn't come off of him, so I managed to get Rodgers off of him instead. But he wouldn't. He said that Kyler Murray is his best running back, and that's true. What did he have, 60 yards and a touchdown last week? I mean, and plus all the passing yards and passing touchdowns. Just getting better and better out there in Arizona. You know, back to San Francisco, Seattle. Now, this is a home game. I'm not sure if they're letting fans in out there yet or not, but when they do, that makes a giant difference in that stadium in Seattle. I like Seattle in this game to get back on the winning track. San Fran's beat up. They're beat up at the running back position. Like, I'm not even sure who's going to play the running back for them. You know, Jamichael Hasty, maybe. They don't, looks like maybe Jerick McKinnon's taking a back seat there. So, you know, if waivers have ran and Jamichael Hasty is in your league, go scoop him up and play him this week, because he could definitely have some fantasy potential for you, you know, against that Seattle defense for sure. Tyler Lockett, 200 yards, handful of touchdowns last week. You know, but the play of the game and probably the play of the week, and I didn't see it live. I was Kane Harder texted me and said, did you see what DK Metcalf just did? And I said, no. And I went and saw it the next day. And him tracking down Buda Baker on that pick six, or that would have been a pick six, him come flying 10, 15 yards back and tracking down Buda Baker. Holy crap. Go to YouTube, find that play. Just type in DK Metcalf rundown, and it'll come up for you. Probably the play of the year right now. That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. That guy is a machine. New Orleans, Chicago, 4-2 versus 5-2. Chicago finally their smoke and mirrors record has kind of come into play here. I've been saying all season their record to me is a little bogus. I mean, if they're 5-2 and the Bengals are 1-5-1, we got some stuff going on here. Saints coming back off a bye week. I'm still not sure about Michael Thomas. Every report I'm seeing says he's still not practicing. So even if he plays, man, you know, you drafted him so high, and I traded back in a league just to get him in the first round. And it's one of those things where if he plays, you're playing him. I'm not sure how confident I am about him with him being out almost the whole entire season. I'm seriously thinking about it. I do have two shares of him throughout my fantasy landscape, and I'm thinking maybe holding him out, even if he does play, you know, in his first week back, just to let him get kind of acclimated. I did the same thing with Julio 2 weeks ago, and Julio bit me. So, you know, maybe it's not the most great advice in the world. I know Drew Brees would be happy to get him back, that's for sure. Might take some pressure off Kamara and make him a little bit more productive as well. Sunday night game, battle of the NFC least. Once again, Dallas back-to-back weeks playing NFC least teams. 2-5 Dallas travels up to Philly to take on the 2-4-1 Eagles. Like I just said a little bit ago, start your Eagles. Whatever you got, fire them up. Start them. Because until we see otherwise, until you hear otherwise, Dallas can't stop anything. Worst defense I've ever seen. Worst defense I've ever seen. It's worth saying twice. I don't know how they can be that bad and be professional football players. I say it every week about the Florida State Seminoles defense, too. How can these guys be Division I college athletes and be that bad? How can these guys be NFL-level talent and be that bad? Everywhere. I don't get it. Start your Eagles. Anytime somebody's playing Dallas, until they step up and say, you know, stop it, whoever's playing Dallas, it's a slam start. Philly wins this game. Philly wins this game easy. You want to know why? Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz comes in, and if the running game is anything at all, Carson Wentz will carve this team up, and Philly will win this game easy. Dallas is going to go with Ben DiNucci, most likely. Dalton won't clear concussion protocol in time. So we got, you know, that working against the Cowboys. This is an Eagles game, and this game screams Eagles are just going to roll Dallas again. Monday night, Tampa Bay versus the New York Giants. Now, coming in, this game probably would have had a – coming into the season, this game probably had a little bit more, you know, allure. With Saquon being healthy, I think Saquon healthy all season, and the Giants have two or three wins, just with him being, you know, in the game. So Tampa goes to New York, maybe a little chilly, a little bit colder. I don't think that matters. Tom Brady's used to playing in the cold. Tampa goes in there and takes care of New York, and I kind of hope they do, because I need Tampa to win this game, because Dallas is going to lose, and the winner of the NFC least, they have to let him in the playoffs. So there's a rule in the NFL that if you win your division, you go to the playoffs. So if you win five games and you win your division, you get to go to the playoffs. So that's what we're looking for here. We're looking for something to grab a hold of as a Cowboy fan. But my goodness, that division is horrid. Just awful. Awful. And we've seen signs of life out of Washington last week because they played Dallas. That's the only reason I think they looked good, was because they played the Cowboys. They're on bye week this week. They come back next week. They're not going to look that great again. This division is horrible. How can NFL players be that bad, top to bottom? That's going to do it. I'm out of here. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Thank you for listening to the Hateful Hitman podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Hit me up. Hit me up with anything you got, questions, comments, concerns. Be happy to hear from you guys. You can find my podcast all over the place, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Apple Pod, Google Pod, man, it's everywhere. My Twitter following is growing. I appreciate you guys. Follow me on Twitter. I'll follow you back. Good luck this week. See you next time on The Hitman Show.